Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to Harry's.com. Get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code HamNation when you check out.
This is Ham Nation, episode 228 for December 23rd, 2015. Happy holidays.
Good evening, everybody. It's almost Christmas. I'm Bob Heil, and I'm having more fun this week than you can imagine. And I'm glad you're here tonight because we have some really cool things going on. And one of them is we have lots of fun people here. Let's go around the horn. First of all, I want to bring George in because, George, are you okay? I heard you had some weather down there. George Thomas, how are you, buddy?
Hi, Bob. We're doing pretty good tonight. Yeah, we had some weather north of us up in Clarksdale. I think they had a pretty serious tornado up there. We don't have all the reports yet. Right here, sort of in the middle of the state where I am, it really hasn't been that bad. So, we're looking forward to a Christmas in the 80s here.
Yes. Yes, it was 70 here today, and they're telling us it's going to be that way for a long time here, so we're happy. And Don, how are you doing? You didn't have a lot of big, crazy weather, did you?
No, it was all way north of us. You know, George is about a three-hour drive north of me, and Clarksdale is another, what, George, two or three hours north of you, at least, up by Memphis. So that was nasty. No, it was just rainy and warm down here today. But that was a nasty tornado. You know, I grew up in Oklahoma, so I'm familiar with those things. And I saw a video of it. That thing was huge. This wasn't no little bitty like EF1 or something. This was a big tornado, and it was on the ground. They tracked it for about a half an hour on the ground. And, in fact, that storm continued on later on up towards the Nashville area. So it's they're persistent, and they're expecting more severe weather. In fact, we're in kind of a watch for some severe weather, even this far south tonight. So we got to keep a weather eye open. And yeah, it's so warm. It's 74 degrees here right now. I was going to make coffee in a lovely Christmas cup, but instead I'm drinking iced tea out of the ICOM glass, the ICOM beer glass. So it's just doesn't feel like Christmas, Bob. It just doesn't feel like Christmas down here, but I'm dressed for it.
It doesn't. But that's okay. I was out recording some Christmas music on the organ the last few days, but that's okay. We made it happen. And Gordo, thank you for bringing that weather east. We really appreciated all of this, and I hope you're doing good. You, Susie, and the cats.
We are doing fine, and yes, we exported some weather to you. Nice sunny weather. It's cold out here in Southern Cal with rain forecast. And good news, 11,200 QSOs racked up by Convoy on the Air, November 4, November. What a great run they had with their Convoy on the Air coast to coast. So that is good news. Our weather is earthquake weather. We've had two of them. Good sharp jolts. All the cats went flying, and it was a biggie, but everything is well here in Southern Cal. Back to you, Bob.
Okay. Well, we've got some really good things happening tonight. We're going to start a new segment here on Ham Nation. Last week, if you found, we did about 25 or 30 minutes about audio. We had to fill some time with Gordo and gone, and George didn't have some things. So I answered a lot of questions I've had for months. Well, I had hundreds of responses. Not one of them was negative or flaming. I appreciate it because it was all true. It's all science. And we're going to start a little 10-minute segment here on Ham Nation. Hello Al. So if you have questions, email them to me and let me know. We'll cover them. And we're going to look at it and let's see what's going to happen. So for now, let's take it over to Gordo. Gordo, it's all
right. Well, thanks, Bob, and happy holidays to all of our Ham Nation viewers. We won't be on next week. No one will for the Ham Nation cast, but we'll be back with you in January. And I've got a lot of great items we'll mention on January for you clubs that are making things happen in ham radio. All right, Brian, if we may, let's go to Short Shots, and we'll tell you where we were last week. Last week, we were dodging a little bit of rain, and the reason we had to dodge the rain is here locally in Southern California is the Newport Beach Boat Parade. Huge tradition. It gives ham operators and other marine radio operators a good chance for radio communications, for coordination of the 80 or 90 yachts. And look at this. That's an LED, underwater LED setup that this vessel has. But before we talk about the boat parade last weekend, let's talk about incoming rain. For those of you with any type of a trap antenna, be prepared for rain. And for those of you on the East Coast, that warm weather won't last forever. Be prepared for rain and snow. And as we take a look at our antenna connections, black tape will sort of help, but you really need, and we'll show you in just a moment, the goo that's available from Universal Radio in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, called Coax Seal. Got to make sure that you have no exposed connections like this that rain will get into. Look at this, an off-center fed Wyndham. It's good, but look at that connector just hanging out there in the breeze. PL259s are not waterproof. They will leak moisture. Something like this won't even last a winter. It'll be eaten away quick, even though the braid is silver tin. So the best thing to do with any type of exposed connection is use that coax seal. And that coax seal is a great way to drive out moisture. You can get it through DX Engineering and multiple other sources. It's the sticky stuff that you see at HamFest. Now, for those of you with an outside automatic antenna tuner, whether it's LDG or ICOM or who's ever, make sure that any connections going into that have a good coating of this coax seal to drive out any kind of moisture. And believe me, this is where antennas go bad. It's not the antenna itself, but at the connection point. So make sure you have plenty of coax seal. Now, here's what happens to traps. A trap is an LC, parallel LC network, that's going to offer high impedance to any signal trying to go through the trap that is not of what the trap was designed for. And the trap is just like a stopgap. It won't keep the signal from going any further out the antenna to other elements. The LC network is high Q. And when you remove the outside of the trap, there's the coil. There's little to go wrong with a coil. Even in wet weather, the coil is going to be just fine. It's got a good coating of shellac on it. The coil is not the problem. So why is your trap antenna not working? Well, here it is. On vertical antennas, moisture will creep down that element, will creep through the dried out black plastic, and will begin to pool inside the trap. Now, your trap certainly should have the drain holes down, but even just moisture inside the trap, because those black elements have gone bad or they're loose, that's where the problem is. And when you loosen and take those apart, you'll see that there's a little Allen screw, or maybe it's a sheet metal screw. Make sure it's tight. You should not be able to turn that outside trap, the capacity part of that trap, shouldn't be able to turn it at all. It needs to be affixed. And you see a connection like this, better get your own meter out because it may or may not be working. And that black part looks okay. Now, here's something else that goes bad, and that is that little white compression washer that keeps the center from shorting out to the outside of the mound. Don't lose that little compression and make sure that it's got the grooves pointing down so it nestles into place. Now, here's the deal. You take a look at this, and it's got a PL259 receiver called an SO239, and it's got the 3H24 for screwing on that big whip antenna. Don't make it a big whip antenna because guess what? You see that center section? It is simply swedged into and will pull out with a big whip antenna. So do not rely on this type of an antenna setup on your mobile to support a big mama antenna like an Outbacker or a Hi-Q antenna that takes a 3H24 thread, because that antenna will just yank out that brass insert and you'll be left with no antenna and no signal. Now, the extra class, for those of you planning on going for extra class, there's another 137 questions coming to the pool. A few will be eliminated, so the pool will swell, but we've looked at the new extra class questions that kick in July 1st. Let me tell you, be sure and get your ticket before July 1 with your current study materials, because the new extra class test brings in calculations for the off-center fed Windham antenna, feed point impedances, talks all about balance, 2-to-1, 3-to-1, 4-to-1 for an off-center fed antenna. A lot of antenna questions. A lot of new questions about propagation. And this is showing the performance of an off-center fed antenna on 40, 30, 20, 15. That's a little hopeful. They don't do well on 15 and, of course, 10 meters. And you need to know this for the new extra class test. They talk all about high Q type of foils, and you'll need to do some calculations on calculating Q of a coil and know what bandwidth figures are. They'll ask about new types of propagation, cordial propagation up in the E and the F layers, mainly the F layer, and several new questions there. They'll talk about brass versus iron slugs in coils and what's the difference. And there's a big difference. New questions on the test about digital logic. So if you're into digital logic, good. But if you aren't, better take that extra test before July 1st. And a lot about strip line circuitry. Here we see the terrific M2 amplifier. That's a good KW on 2 meters. And it uses a lot of the board itself as strip line circuitry. So a lot of new stuff on the extra class test coming up. So study now. You still have 6.5 months to get it out of the way. Finally, for the boat parade, we were watching the radars. We were watching all of the internet sites. And while we had rain right offshore, where the boat parade was sailed was in Newport Harbor. In fact, you could actually see the incoming storm front that luckily never made it in. We could see that on radar. And look at this. Look what they do to make things happen in Newport Harbor. Communications was paramount of importance to keep everybody on track. So all of us on Ham Nation wish you all a very happy holiday, and we'll see you right around the new year. So, Brian, that's my story. And look at this, Brian. I decided to wish myself a little happy holidays beforehand, and here's the new 51A Plus handheld. It's already memorized a lot of the D-Star repeaters, and let me tell you, look how thin this is. So ICOM, we purchased one of these radios, and wow, what an immediate favorite, especially with the self-loading of many of the D-Star repeaters in the local area. So speaking of ICOM, let's take a look and see what's happening with ICOM America.
Enjoy the holiday season with an ICOM Portable. Nothing spreads holiday cheer like ICOM's colorful ID51A Plus D-Star Dual Bander, available in Classic Black, Sunset Orange, Passion Pink, Ultraviolet, or Lime Yellow. Near me repeater function for D-Star as well as analog repeaters. Free downloadable RSMS1A Android app and integrated GPS. For the ham on the go, the UHF D-Star ID31A has so many features to enjoy. Built-in GPS, compact and lightweight with waterproof construction, and micro SD card slot. Want to give the gift of classic 2-meter 70-centimeter operation? Try the ICT-70A HD. Easy to program with simple keypad. It has a large backlit alphanumeric display. Here, 700 milliwatts of loud and clear audio, and the HD version includes the radio, lithium-ion battery pack, and rapid charger for up to 19 hours of operation. For a versatile high-power handheld, choose ICOM's ICV80A HD Sport. It has a built-in BTL amplifier which helps deliver 750 milliwatts of loud audio, great for noisy environments, and like the T70A, the HD version includes the radio, lithium-ion battery pack, and rapid charger. The V80 Sport also comes with an alkaline tray that holds six AA batteries. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's mobile radio selection. Happy holidays. And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register to win for some great swag prizes like ICOM t-shirts and hats. And you can also learn how you might win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. For December, they've got a great rig here. The one Gordo and Don were just showing us. It's the ICOM ID51A Plus dual band dual watch handheld. It's got D-Star, internal GPS, analog and D-Star near repeater functions, enhanced DPRS, a free downloadable Android app, IPX7 waterproof construction, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register to win. Somebody's going to get a nice present this Christmas from Solder Claus and ICOM. ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. And Gordo was talking a moment ago about insulating your connectors, and not just regular electric tape is what we were seeing in the chat room there, but there was some discussion of some of the different materials. This is one I use right here. The coaxial is great. Here's another choice. This is 3M weather, I think they call it rubber splicing tape. It's not sticky like electric tape. It's kind of a thick rubber here with a liner on it. You stretch it real tight onto whatever you're securing there, and it fuses to itself. And here's a roll I picked up at Dayton either last year or the year before. You can find it at a lot of ham fests. This is not 3M brand, but it's the same stuff. It's a rubber splicing tape that you just stretch it, and it kind of self-fuses. There's no adhesive on it. So another good choice there. Well, now let's bring in Mr. Don Wilbanks. Well, no, I'll tell you what. Let's wait, because it is news, but it's a new segment that Bob is doing here for us on audio. And, Bob, I know we've had just tons of questions, all of us have, about audio. Especially since you mentioned it here recently, people just can't seem to get enough.
I hear you. And we were going to do this tonight, but boy, the signals are bad. I don't know if there's storms out at the gateway for the satellite or what. But we'll start this off with our first show in January, and we do have a lot of comments. I mean, there's some, and everybody needs to really get some more information about it. So we'll make this happen for our show. We won't be here next week, but we want the video to be really good. So let's see what Don's got first, and if it does get better, we'll come back and do that. So, Don, well, let's see what the news is of the day.
Let's do that. Let's check in with Amateur Radio Newsline, shall we?
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1990, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, December 23rd, 2015. We begin this week's report with word that a ham from Spain has become a silent key following a gun battle inside the Spanish embassy in Kabul.
Isidro Gabino San Martin Hernandez, EB1BT, from León in Spain, was working as part of the Spanish embassy's security team in Kabul when he, along with another police officer and numerous others on the diplomatic staff, were killed during an extended shootout inside the embassy early on Friday evening, the 11th of December. The shootout closely followed the explosion of a car bomb, believed to have been set by Taliban suicide bombers, outside the embassy's guest house gate. A group of gunmen then entered the embassy compound and a nine-hour gun battle ensued. According to an account posted in the Spain report, all the attackers were ultimately killed by the Afghan police special forces. A statement released by the Spanish Home Office said the Home Secretary had offered the King's and the Prime Minister's condolences to Gabino's widow and ordered Spanish flags to be flown at half-mast for 3 days on police buildings. Señor Hernandez was 48 and a father of four. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci for NJH in Nottingham in the UK.
Our prayers go out to all who knew him. A weather disaster in the Philippines. As Typhoon Malor approached, the Philippine Amateur Radio Association activated its Ham Emergency Radio Operations, or HERO, network. By the time it hit on Monday, December 14th, the typhoon swept through the central part of the nation, cutting power for millions and leaving at least six dead, one of them a child. The Philippine government reported that more than 90,000 homes were damaged, at least 8,000 beyond repair. In addition, mudslides and landslides left roads blocked. HERO's been making use of 7.095 megahertz lower sideband as its calling frequency for emergency traffic, requesting that all amateurs keep the frequency clear. The hams are utilizing backup power and plan to continue operations as the typhoon makes landfall throughout the archipelago. The new and improved FCC website went live Wednesday, December 9th. A statement from the commission describes the new website as featuring, quote, a more responsive design, a new site navigation structure, and an improved search capability, end quote. The site also provides a friendlier interface for display on mobile devices, tablets, and other platforms beyond the desktop environment. The site includes some big pluses for hams. There's now the ability to link hams directly to the Universal Licensing System from the home page, and also a direct link to the electronic comment filing system, which is used for input in official proceedings. Project manager Deanna Stevens also notes in an agency blog online that the site's ability to offer navigation by toggling permits browsing by categories or by bureau and office, hopefully providing more responsiveness to user preferences. Take a look and get acquainted at FCC.gov. And finally this week, a story about the true meaning of Christmas, giving. The Center of Hope in Ravenna, Ohio, has a special Santa in the form of the Portage County Amateur Radio Service. The group's president, Rick Kruse, K8CAV, and vice president Jim Wilson, AC8NT, recently donated a check for nearly $4,000 to the center, which provides free hot meals 5 days a week for 75 to 100 low-income residents in the area. The center's work is especially important in areas where no food pantries exist. The check was accepted by Mark Frazone, Chief Executive Officer of Family and Community Services, Inc. He said, quote, this is truly a clear example of the impact that the center has on our community, end quote. The Portage County Group is an ARRL-affiliated special service club. Many of our friends at DX Engineering are members of the Portage County Amateur Radio Service. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. All right, good stuff in the Newsline this week. We have no solar report tonight because Dr. T has been extremely busy lately, so we'll try to get her back on our next show, which will be, of course, in the first part of the year. Now, of course, we're in the night before, right before the night before Christmas Eve, I guess you would call it, and lots of opportunities still to contact Santa Claus on the radio. The HF net, for instance, the Santa net on 3916 is going all the way through Christmas Eve, and of course, let's not forget the Santa Watch net on Echolink. In fact, I believe we have a promo.
Well, boys and girls, it's my favorite time of the year again. It's time for the Santa Watch Net.
That's right. Santa will be making his rounds, and once again, for the fifth year in a row, the gang at the Dewdrop Inn will be watching the radar. Join the Santa Watch Net, starting at 1800 hours Eastern Time.
Oh, my little elf Dave, N3NTV, he's such a cute little guy. He'll be calling the net and keeping track of old Santa's location.
And just like last year, Santa has a radio in his sleigh, and he may chat with the kids again.
Oh, bring all the little ones and get them checked in. Third-party traffic, of course, always on the nice list.
Once again, it's the Santa Watch Net. Christmas Eve, 1800 hours Eastern on the Dewdrop-In Echolink conference server, node number 355-800.
Oh, Merry Christmas from me, old Santa, and all my little elves at the Dewdrop-In.
That is always just so much fun. Good folks over there, too, on the Dewdrop-In. You know, we've got a word here now from one of our sponsors. That, of course, is Harry's. Santa, of course, obviously, not a Harry's man. If Santa was a Harry's man, he'd look as good as I do, because I'm a Harry's man. And this episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Harry's. Harry's fixes a problem, which is paying too much for overpriced razors. You know, shaving, it's kind of a chore sometimes. You can cut yourself or scrape yourself. Dull blades are the worst, and they're expensive. They run about $4 a blade. Someone who shaves every day will literally invest hundreds of dollars a year just on razor blades. The Gillette Fusion, just one example. And, of course, you got to almost get patted down by TSA at the store when you go to buy them. They got to have them unlocked in the plexiglass cabinet. It's just a pain. Well, Harry's is taking care of all of that because they will give you high-quality razors at about half the price of the big brands. And they can do that because they make their own razors in their own factory in Germany. They're engineered for sharpness and high performance. They're 5-blade units. And look at that thing spitting those blades out. They make their own blades. It's German steel. It's the best in the world. And they will ship these world-class blades to you for free right to your front doorstep. And because they make and ship their own blades, Harry's is a more efficient company. That means factory direct pricing, which means you save money and you get a superior shave. And your satisfaction is guaranteed. In every kit, you get a razor with a handle. Looks and feels great. You get 3 razor blades. You get a foaming shave gel. And the starter Truman set is an amazing deal. You get it all for just $15. But there's a really cool set out right now, and that is the Winston. The Winston is the one with the nice metal handle. I have the Chrome Winston. But look at this, what we have. This is the Winter Winston. It has a copper-plated handle. This thing is amazing. And you can also get the Winston set. You can get it personalized. You can have your initials put on it right there. And if you get your initials put on it, that monogrammed, it comes in this great presentation case, which might be a little late for Christmas now. But, of course, you know, if anyone's having a birthday or whatnot, this would make an excellent gift. And another product that you might consider that's on the Harry's website, this is something new, too. This is the new Dop Kit, the travel bag. And like everything else that Harry's makes, it's absolutely amazing quality, good stuff. Lots of pockets and zippered pockets in here. And I've got some other goodies in here that I've really been enjoying. This is the Harry's face wash. Man, this is good. It kind of exfoliates a little bit. It's got a great smell to it. And, of course, Harry's has the aftershave as well. And it all, everything fits in here. Here's the Truman. Here's the Truman that I have here. It all fits right in here in this bag with plenty of room for everything else that you might want to need, deodorant, shampoo, toothbrush, anything you want. So you can take Harry's with you on your globe-trotting adventures. I love Harry's. Makes me feel good. Makes me look good. And my wife likes it, too. And I love the price because Harry's is half as much as the razors in the store. And the moisturizer is good stuff. Go to harrys.com. You'll save $5 off your first purchase with the code HAMNATION. HARRYS.com. Enter code HAMNATION at checkout. I'm telling you, this is the absolute truth. I've gone to HAMFests. People have come up to me and go, feel my face. Literally. They'll take my hand and they'll up on feel that. That's a hairy shave. And they thank me so much for turning them on to Harry's. I get emails all the time. Try it. save yourself $5, and I guarantee you, you're going to be a Harry's man like the rest of us. We're all Harry's men here on Ham Nation, and there are Harry's ladies out there, too. I know my wife, Dawn, loves Harry's. It's a good product, and I think you'll like it as well. H-A-R-R-Y-S, harrys.com, enter code Ham Nation, save yourself $5 on your first order. And thank you so much, Harry's, for being part of the Ham Nation family. George, you're a Harry's man, and Randy, I don't know about Randy. I think what we need to do at the next Ham Festival when we find Randy is we need to just get him down and let's just shave him, George, you and me. We could take him.
Well, maybe we can, Don. You know, I try to stay away. If someone comes up to me at a Ham Fest and says, "Here, feel my face," I'm just going to kind of back away. You know,
feel my face is okay. It's the feel my cheeks. That's what you want to watch out for.
Okay. I got you now. You know, people have been commenting in the chat room about this thing over my shoulder here. Someone said it was a power supply. Yeah. Someone said it was an amplifier. What it actually is one of these. And this is my War Stories from the Transmitter site. This, and I've got two of them here that got a problem. This is a module out of a 10kW AM solid-state transmitter. This one is a 1-kilowatt module. There's 10 of them in the transmitter. It's got these two are the RF amplifiers, so it's 500 watts each for those. And then this one is a modulator because, you know, you got to, on AM, well, I won't say you got to, but if you want it to sound good, you have to modulate at a high level. You know, modulate the final amplifier. You don't modulate the exciter and then amplify that. Unless, well, you can do that, but to get the best quality, and typically all broadcast transmitters always modulate their final. So that's one of 10 amplifiers and modulator modules out of a 10-kilowatt transmitter. What happened? Well, they quit working. So actually a power supply went out that feeds them, and it knocked out two modules in the process. You know, Randy recently moved, and he's still getting things set up. I think it was this past week. Maybe it was a week before. I believe it was. He showed us a little bit about the new shack that he was setting up. You know, I believe he's leasing this house because he's building his own. So he's got certain restrictions he's got to work with because, you know, this is leased space, but seems like he came out with a pretty good plan anyway.
Hi, Randy, K7AGE, part two of building the new ham shack. In the previous video, part one, you heard about my planning of the ham shack, what I was going to be doing. I put the shelves together, moved the shelves in, put the radios on the shelves, hooked up the power supplies, and hooked up the two computers. Well, the next step is that I want to start hearing some things and maybe working some stations, so I need to work on the antenna. So before I talk about antennas, I'm going to talk about what is typically a very hot topic in many ham radio discussions, and that's about grounding. What do you do for your station? And there's all sorts of various thoughts about this, and it just all kind of gets grouped into grounding. There's the AC safety grounding through the third pin of your wiring. There's RF grounding, which may be needed for some antennas and to reduce the RF coming back into your shack. And there's lightning protection. So there's a lot of things to consider about grounding. I'm not going to get into any of that. In fact, I'm not even going to put any grounding in this station unless I have to, because it's not very convenient here where the way the room is and how I'd have to get outside. It would be a long cable. And so I'm going to go without it and see what happens. So that's it about grounding. We just leave it at that and see what happens. Okay, so on to the antennas. Where we're at here in this rental house, it's I'm kind of surrounded by some other non-residential buildings, and I'm kind of an island in this piece of property, so I really don't have a lot of things I can work with. But what I have is a short telephone pole that's used to hold up a security light. And so I'm going to hook my antenna on one end of that and then string it out across the top of the house, or part of the lower part of the house, off to another utility pole. And I won't be near the wires, and I won't be up near the top. So it's only a temporary thing, probably not the smartest thing to do. But I'm going to try that first and see how it works out. The antenna I'm going to use is a EnFed antenna. I bought this before I left Grass Valley, and I had this up for a while and was using it, so I thought I would try it out here as well. It's all pre-made, and we'll hang it up and see what happens. I can always change things out later. I have maybe some other ideas for the future. So what I have is a PAR EnFed antenna. It's about 66 feet long, and it's a quad band. It covers 40 meters, 20 meters, 15 meters and 10 meters, and it's capable of 200 watts. So that's what I'm going to put up, hang it from the pole, and stretch it out across the house. One of the challenges I had was how to get the rope up to the top of the pole without a ladder or a bucket truck. And what I used was, for camping, I have this long fiberglass Wonder pole, and it extends actually higher than the wood pole out by the side of the house here. So I thought if I have my rope up at the top of that plastic pole, I can just reach up over there and set it down over the hook that's holding up the power cable, and I can have my line at the top of that pole to be used to pull up the antenna. And that worked out really easy. So the antenna is going to stretch across the back porch of the house, which does have a metal roof, which is not ideal, but it's what I have to work with. And, you know, we all don't live on huge properties and big antenna farms. So sometimes we have to make do with what we have. I'm going to string it across there and tie it to basically as far up as I can reach on this other utility pole. You know, you really shouldn't get near power lines, but I'll be away from it, and I'm not going to be up near the top or anything like that. So if it doesn't work, I can try something else, but that's what we're going to start with. So the other item to deal with is how to get the cables into the house. So I have a landlord that's willing to work with me here about with my ham radio. He says I can do things as long as I don't put stuff, you know, drill holes in the roof. And he has a contractor friend, so I met with him about the idea of bringing the cables into the house. And what we've done in this room that's just outside the ham shack, up high underneath an eave, I've drilled a hole through from the inside to the outside, then use a hole saw to cut a larger hole so I could pass a piece of PVC piping through, and then I caulked it up, and it's tilted down so the rain and the weather won't get in. So that's how the cables are coming into the house. Okay, I'm back in the ham shack, and now it's time to check the antenna. The way I'm going to check that is with the MFJ antenna analyzer that I have. I'm not going to go through all the operation of it. I've covered that on one of my other YouTube videos that you can see on my channel. I'm going to record the data that I measure with the MFJ analyzer in a notebook. It's a good thing to establish yourself a notebook for your station where you can keep track of like antenna performance data, which your SWR measurements are, maybe connector pinouts for any custom cables, COM ports for your computer, maybe settings for the radio. It's nice to record that in a notebook, so if you have concerns at a later point in time, you can go back and compare what it was originally. So to record the SWR measurements, I'm going to use a single page. I'm going to make four band graphs, one for 40, 20, 15, and 10, and write the frequencies across the bottom and some SWR values up the side. And I'm going to use the MFJ to measure multiple points across the band and then record the data. And I have myself a simple little graph that I can go back and look at later to see how the antenna is performing. Okay, I've got all my data now recorded in my ham station engineering notebook, and I'm fairly pleased with the results. On 40 meters, you can see it went from about 1.5 up to 1.8 between the band edges. 20 meters, it went from about 1.4 to 1.8. That'll certainly work fine. 15 meters, I'm not sure why, but it was about 1.2 across the entire band. Maybe that's because 40 meter and 15 meters can quite often use the same antenna because of the harmonic relationship. And 10 meters, it went from about 1.5 up to about 2.3. So, yeah, it's a little high in 10 way out at the end here, but don't forget, 10 is a much wider band than the rest. So, anyway, I'm quite pleased. You know, I know that the radio will work with this, and if I get near the band edges, I can always press the tune button and let the antenna tuner in the radio match the antenna. Okay, well, that wraps up for this video. At least I got my antenna up. You saw how I put that up. It's, again, a PAR NFED quad for 40, 20, 15, and 10. I can use it across all the bands without a tuner, so that's really handy. And I just wish I could get it up higher, but we'll have to get on the air and make some contacts and see how it does. So that's all for now. Thanks for watching. In the next video, we'll be hooking up the mixer. So stay tuned, 73.
Well, it looks like Randy's got his priorities straight there. He just moved, and one of the first things he did was work on the ham shack. Well, I'm sure he's done more than that, but he didn't put it off months down the road like or years down the road like some people do. He got right on it. So congratulations, Randy. Looks like you're getting set up there and going to be back on the air at, pretty much full steam here shortly. And two things that Randy talked about there I just wanted to touch on. Number one, he said, because of the layout there, he wasn't going to do grounding. What he said is he's going to just try it and see. And I think that's one of the most important things you can do when you're setting up a ham station. You know, do the best you can with what you've got and what you know, and then try it, you know, because sometimes you can follow things to the letter and it doesn't turn out that good. And you really don't know till you try it. So that's a good piece of information there from Randy, is just try it and see. And the other thing is keep, he called it a notebook, I call it a log. Keep a log, write down your antenna measurements whenever you change something about your shack, any special call sign of someone that you met you want to remember, any kind of notes to do with your ham radio activity there or your shack. Put it in that log so you can go back in the future and find, well, just how did this antenna look when I first set it up? Has it always been a 5-to-1 out here on 40 meters? No, it probably hasn't, but you can look and see what it has been. Great stuff, Randy. Appreciate that and look for more from you in the future. You know, I've got a couple of things to give away here. Last week I asked a question. What component? No, that's what I'm going to ask this week. What I asked last week is, what is the basic unit of electromotive force? And your choices were A, the volt, B, the watt, C, the ampere, or D, the ohm. And this comes from the amateur radio technician exam. Well, we've got a winner here. It's David Guter, KK6ULX. And David said it's A, the volt. So congratulations, David. We'll be sending you this MFJ-148RC radio control clock. It's a dual time zone clock, set one for your local time zone, set one for UTC, and it's got built-in WWV sync in it, so it'll pick up WWV off the air, keep itself synchronized, and it's also got a built-in 10-minute ID timer you can use if you want to, just to remind you every 10 minutes that, hey, you need an ID. So while we're on a roll with the clocks there, you know, I've got another one here that I need to give away. It's, well, I guess it'll be the last thing I give away this year. And you probably want to get in on this. This is one of the coveted DX Engineering 24-hour wall clocks, courtesy of Tim and the crew at DX Engineering. If you'd like to win this, then I've got a question for you. And this also comes from the technician exam. What component is commonly used to change 120 volts AC house current to a lower AC voltage for other uses? You should know this one, but well, let's see what your choices are. It's A, a variable capacitor, B, a transformer, C, a transistor, or D, a diode. If you think you know the answer to that, and you know the component commonly used to change 128 volts AC house current to a lower AC voltage, send the answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win this DX Engineering 24-hour clock. And now let's get Bob back in and see if we can talk a little bit about audio.
Hey, I think Santa Claus and his sleigh was headed between here and the gateway. I want to also remind everybody that tonight, right after Ham Nation, on 5.085, that's WTWW, this big shortwave transmitting the Christmas music that I did. So it's kind of fun to listen to that. It'll be right after. Here's the deal. You can call them and leave a Christmas message. This is really cool. And the number is 615-813-0173. 615-0173. We'll come back when Amanda's on and we'll give that to you. But Ed and his whole family to keep a great transmitter on here. 100 kilowatt. Think about that. Web station, that's quite the thing, no problem. And we'll be back after a while on Fire Up Oregon. So thanks very much for putting up with this crazy signal tonight. But hey, what can I tell you? We deal with it. I think Santa Claus went somewhere between here and Kansas. What do you think, Dale? You guys holding the signals up out there? How are you, Dale? It's good to see you back here. Thanks for being here.
I know you too, got Bob. Good. Happy night before Christmas to you and to everyone out there. We do have a nice Christmas treat toward the end of the video segment from Larry. He's the ham radio guy up in Minnesota, WD0AKX. Wanted to put out one note. I got a text from Steve, W7UDI, said he was firing up the 40-meter net on 7284 right around 9 o'clock. I haven't heard him yet, but you might be interested in that. This week, we did receive a nice note from Frank K4FMH. He's the webmaster for the Central Mississippi Amateur Radio Club. He produced a clever video for the club website, and he called it "May the Force of Hiram Percy Maxim Be With You." But unfortunately, we can't play the video because he used highly recognizable music from the score of Star Wars, and we just cannot play that. But if the Force is with you and you loved Amanda's Princess Leia outfit and Don's lightsabers last week, might want to check out www.cmsara.org. Check that out. There's an important message there, too, for all ham clubs in that short video. Well, we also received a follow-up report based on Gordo's tips about being ready to explain your ham radio activities to law enforcement officials. The importance of these tips was highlighted already by Etain, EA4GIL. He's from Madrid, but he recently visited Italy. He had quite an experience. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Etienne, Echo Alpha 4, Golf India Lima, from Madrid. Well, we just heard Gordo tell us about how to deal with the gendarmes when we are operating. So let me tell you my little story when I visited Italy last month with my family. We just came out of the Scala Sancti. Well, I came out. My wife was still inside watching all the details of this historical site. And I was approached by a gentleman that identified himself as a policeman. And within a few seconds, I was surrounded by a group of, I think, 8 members of the security forces, 2 military, 2, maybe 3 in uniform of the state police, and 3 or 4 civilian. The person who was talking to me turned out to be an assistant commissioner and asked me, what about this? What is this? Somebody must have called. So very calmly, I explained I was a radio amatori. I showed him my license. I showed him my civil defense collaborator permits and my identity card. But it took no less than about 30 minutes of these 8 people asking me questions. Why do I travel with these? Can I hear the police? Where do I stay? When did I arrive? When did I go? And so on. But I explained to them very calmly. So if you go to Italy, of course, have your license, have your identity card. If you're a member of a CPT country, one of the 48 European countries, your license should actually state that it's a CPT license and therefore is valid in Italy. And 2 Italian friends give us some more information. First of all, India Victor 5, Echo Delta India, Simone, who's the secretary of the ARI in Florence, has a nice page about what to how to prepare, how to operate in Italy. And I recommend you print out the legislative text that he has referenced in his article. And later on, I was informed by India Zulu 6 Foxtrot Uniform Quebec of another piece of legislation that pertains particularly to CPT that he recommended. It's Article 140. That he recommended I carry with me, print it to show to law enforcement. So enjoy your radios, but just be prepared. I have all these links below. And if you enjoyed this video, please subscribe. Thank you. 7-3.
Well, 7-3, Tane. We appreciate the timely report with the current condition in the world. Almost every law enforcement agency is on high alert, so do be prepared if you're walking around with your ham radio walkie-talkie or any other equipment. Well, it is the night before Christmas, so let's check in now with the SantaNet. With the report, here's Larry, WD0AKX.
AKX. Just a reminder for some of you, if you have any kids or grandkids or neighbor kids that would like to talk directly with Santa at the North Pole this year, get them in the ham shack. Every evening in December here up until Christmas now, they'll get a chance to do just that on 3916 kilohertz, 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Let's take a listen and see what's going on here tonight.
Time for the Monday night edition of the SantaNet here on 3916. This is SantaNet number 11 for 2015. We'll be on every night at this time through and including Christmas Eve. So if you've got kids that haven't been on to talk to Santa Claus yet, do not fret because we're here every night again through and including Christmas Eve. So here's what we do on SantaNet. Through SantaNet relay stations, and I'll announce in just a moment, we relay in the voice of Santa from the North Pole. I know it's amazing, but we have great ham operators that volunteer to help us with this. And because of these relay stations strategically positioned across North America, we're able to connect good boys and girls with the big guy, with Santa Claus at the North Pole.
If you don't have a radio, you can still listen in. Just go to 3916nets.com and click the live link at the bottom. You can also click the direct link to SantaNet at the top of the page. The SantaNet is archived at soundcloud.com. Look up 3916nets and the date you're interested in listening to.
Any other check-ins that want to get on with Santa tonight, the easiest way to do that is to send an email to Kilo Echo 5 Golf Golf Yankee at gmail.com. Send us the names and ages of your kiddos and your call sign and name and location. That's all we need. And W5YCT Clint in Arkansas provides the 3916 live streaming feed that's available for all the 3916 Net. We also want to thank W5YCT for setting up the archiving for the SantaNet. Okay, this is KE5GGY. My name is Pete, and I'm just north of Dallas in Denton County. I'll be your net control for tonight's SantaNet, again, SantaNet number 11 for this holiday season.
And we want to introduce our Santanet relay stations. These are the ham operators that make this net happen. KFI-AWP, Jerry in Paris, Texas. W5-MBE, Midwest City, Mike in Midwest City. And N5-VLF from Cedar Park, Texas. And that is Dan. Also, N2-HFO, the voice of the East Coast from Rochester, New York. Michael is with us. And we appreciate Michael so much because he covers a lot of territory that we can't get to. Here we go. Calling Santa. Calling Santa. Merry Christmas from the North Pole. It's me, Santa Claus, and good evening to all the good boys and girls of North America. It is a pleasure to be on 3916, and let's see, who do we have on the list tonight?
Santa, we have a little girl here, five years old, Annabelle. Do you copy, N2HFO, over?
Do you copy, Santa Claus, Annabelle, ho, 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 from the North Pole, over?
Roger, roger, Santa.
Oh, you've got a good roger, roger there, Annabelle. So what would you wish for Christmas this year, Annabelle?
A present car.
And? What else?
A present.
What kind of present?
I don't know. Thank you, Peter.
Well, that sounds good, Annabelle. We'll have to get that right on the list of the elves. Right to work with it there. So you've been a good little girl, over?
Yes.
Yes.
I've been good at school.
Nice pose.
Merry Christmas.
You sound really good on the radio.
Okay, well, thanks, Larry. And if you do like Larry's videos, you can subscribe to his YouTube page. He calls it Ham Radio Guy. So always a lot of fun there from up in Minnesota. And the 3916 net will be on through tomorrow evening. Should be really fun tomorrow evening on the real night before Christmas. Well, this wraps up the Christmas edition of the video segment. The video bin's empty now, so we also need some shack photos to produce another episode of Show Me Your Shack. So be sure to send yours to Ham Nation Videos, that's at twit.tv. And if you plan to do a video for Ham Nation, if we may, got a few quick tips for you. Please do avoid the use of copyrighted music so that we can play your video. We won't be able to play that video if you do have copyrighted music on it. And remember to narrate your video so that our audio-only Ham Nation podcast listeners will know what's going on. If you prefer, you can send a script for the narration. We can add it to the video for you. And do keep the maximum length between 2 minutes, 30 seconds, and 3 minutes. That lets us fit 3 videos into the 10-minute video segment. Well, that's it for this. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Also, a very happy and prosperous new year. Right now, you're in for a really nice treat. We're going to head back to the Southwest Missouri studio now and pick up a little organ music from Bob. Merry Christmas, Bob. Hope you and Sarah are having a great Christmas there in the Ozarks.
Thank you, Dale. Thanks for all you do to make the videos work, and everybody get your videos to him. Let's see what your shack looks like. Sorry for the signal here tonight. I don't know what's going on, but we're going to go out into the studio and fire up the big organ and do something I love to do, is play Christmas music. So here's my Christmas message to everybody. Best regards, and we'll see you next year from Pleasant Hope, Missouri. Merry Christmas, everybody.
I get to do one of my favorite things, play Christmas music on the theater organ. Merry Christmas to all of you, and we're going to do a little Winter Wonderland.
Nation viewers, thanks. That was a wonderful video by Bob. He's such a good organ player, by the way. And hello, Gordo. How are you doing tonight?
I am fine. I see you bought yourself a red one. Well, I got myself a yellow handheld Icom 51A Plus.
I did too. And mine is actually passion pink. How could I go with red? I love it, though. I'm actually listening to the D-Star Net going on right now in the background. Awesome audio. I had no idea. So really thrilled about that. Gordo, don't go away. I have a question for you. You are one of our leading wire antenna experts. So one person asked in the chat room, can you ever install a dipole too high off the ground? Is that possible?
The dipole likes to be a quarter wavelength or higher. But I've seen some NVIS dipoles 2 feet off the ground. And as long as you're not closer than 2 feet, they still tend to match up fairly well without needing a tuner, as long as they are one half wavelength from end to end. So, yep, 2 feet and higher, but a quarter wavelength is where they love to sing.
Very good. Hey, I have something else to show you guys. It's the goopy stuff. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. No, that I have the same stuff. In fact, we recommend that folks get it at a swap meet or DX Engineering or Universal. But this is the sticky stuff. But Amanda, as you probably know, in hot weather, it'll get on everything. So you've got to do it in the dead of night or when it's almost freezing out, and then you'll be able to get it off and on quite easily. Back to you, Amanda.
We're preparing. We're installing our Cushcraft AS4. Did I say that? A4S. I got it dyslexic again. A4S probably next month or so. So we've got to have this stuff ready to go. And
We do.
Absolutely, we've got a lot of it.
Amanda. And remember, on that Cushcraft A4S, be sure that the holes in the traps are pointing straight down. And be sure that all of the traps are nice and tight. And that's the antenna I have, and you'll have another monster signal from your new QTH.
That's awesome. And I was like, Jeff, come in here and watch what Gordo's teaching us right now. We see the holes and everything. We've got to follow this word for word. So I don't want to burn up spiders, and I don't want to blow up my radio, and I want my SWR to be correct. So thanks, Gordo, for all those helpful hints, for sure. And we have melted spiders and a few other old antennas. So just like, yeah, at least one or two. Let's see. I have George also on, right? George, you're here?
Yeah. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, George. Hey, sorry about your weather earlier today. Anyhow, Mirko, I think that's how you say his name, Mirko G4. Okay, I'm going to get this right. Let's start again. KG4ODQ Mirko would like to know, have we ever discussed magnetic loop antennas on the show? What do you think of them?
No, I don't believe that we have. At least I don't recall doing it. And if we did, it was very briefly. But, you know, it's just, I would say ultimately, if you're looking for a small antenna, a magnetic loop may be the way that you want to go. It is directional, so I've really only ever used them on receive, and they do pretty good on receive. What's your opinion, Gordo?
I agree. The magnetic loop antenna, which one of our net operator uses here on 40 meters, he hears stuff that is just barely above the noise level at my station, just a few miles away. Yet my transmit is stronger than his magnetic loop running the same power. So you're right, George. Great for receive. Transmit, not bad at all. And I made a note, we'll bring that expert in and we'll have that on an upcoming show all about magnetic loop antennas.
Great. Thanks, you guys, for your input. I'm actually pretty excited to learn about them now, so can't wait for that one. And Gordo, another question for you. You had talked a little bit about how the extra pool is going to expand. Are you aware of the commercial pool is going to expand at all in their questions as well?
Okay, good question. Only the extra is changing this July 1st, and 75% of the questions are almost identical from what they were currently right now. 25 will be new materials or reworded questions and about 100 more added to the pool, but there'll be some that will be taken away that are old questions. The commercial GROL and MROP and radar, all of those licenses remain the same when it comes to the question pool, and we'll give you fair warning with at least a year's warning before they begin to think about changing them, but no change to the commercial.
Very good. Thank you. And I'm going to throw this one over to George. And Dale, I have not ignored you, I promise. I know these are just some expert questions here. George, do you need both grounding and lightning protection, or can you use one over the other when you're putting stuff in your ham shack?
I'm not sure how to separate the two. There's different types of grounds. There's the AC ground for the utility coming into the house. There's a RF ground for your antennas to work against. And there could also be a ground for lightning. Typically, your RF ground and your lightning ground are going to be the same thing. I hate to really get into grounding a lot because it's such a controversial subject. Basically, I've got one ground, and that's where everything in my shack hooks to, whether it be for lightning protection purposes or as an RF ground or whatever. I'm just using one common ground for everything. Now, there are surge suppressors and things that you can add for lightning protection, and I'm assuming that he was talking about the two different types of grounds. But those polyphaser and some of those surge protectors do work, do help out.
Very good. Living in Colorado, we have lightning arrestors on all repeaters on any mountaintop. It will save you lots of money. Other than that, I let Jeff handle all the electricity in the shack. So it's up to him. And yes, as you've said, grounding is definitely controversial in this area. Let's put Bob in this room and see what happens. Hi. Anyhow, you guys, that's all I've got for tonight. I'm going to say happy holidays from Jeff. Jeff, come in here and say happy holidays to everyone.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
He's wearing his hat, too. So anyhow, it's been a great show tonight, and I'll send it. I don't know who's closing up since we had to drop Bob, so I'll send it over to you, George. You usually handle that.
Okay, Amanda. Well, some great questions there tonight. You can tell people have been thinking a little bit. And really, it sounds like they're trying to make some good improvements in their stations there. Well, it's been a great show tonight. Bob, of course, has dropped out now, mostly due to some poor internet conditions tonight. But I know he was wanting to get back out to that theater organ and play a little more Christmas music. I don't have the schedule with me, but I think maybe it's going to be played at least once more, but I'm not sure. You can go to WTWW, and I'm not sure if it's .com or .org. I'm going to say WTWW.com. Look on the schedule there and see when the next playback of Bob's Christmas special will be played there. I listened to it today. It's very good. It's some great theater organ pieces, but it's also Bob telling a little bit of the history of some of those pieces, which I was not expecting. So it was a really good program. Thanks for being here. On behalf of Bob and Don Wilbanks, who was with us earlier, we appreciate everyone. Gordo, any final messages for the year?
That's it. We just wish everyone happy holidays for this upcoming season, and we'll see you next year right here on Ham Nation.
Okay, mighty fine. Looking forward to it. Dale, have you got any final thoughts for our viewers for the end of the year?
Not a whole lot. It was a good birthday the other day. I was going to tell Amanda I saw her radio fit for a princess, and I thought I'd post a similar picture. Bad news tonight on 40 meters as far as the conditions. I've been talking with Steve. He's been listening out on the West Coast. I've been listening here, and neither one of us can hear anything. So basically, we agreed that there'll be no 40-meter net tonight. So sorry about that, but there are just no signals on the band, not even the foreign broadcast. So it's unbelievable tonight. But I hope everyone has a great Christmas this week, and then a super New Year all year next year. So that's about it, George. Have a good Christmas down there in Mississippi, too.
Okay, Dale. Thanks for that. By the way, I was looking at WTWW.us. Thanks in the chat room there for giving me that address. It looks like tonight, immediately after Ham Nation on 5085 kilohertz, WTWW, you can catch Bob's Christmas concert special there. So go there right after Ham Nation tonight and check it out. WTWW's usually got a good signal all over the U.S. and a good part of the world. So go check it out. You'll really enjoy that program. Amanda, any final words before we go?
Actually, I do. Bob had mentioned a call-in phone number, and I looked that up online because I know his audio was cutting in and out, so I'm typing it in the chat right now. And for those of you that aren't looking at chat, I'm going to repeat the phone number clearly to you. It is 615-813-0173. That's 615-813-0173. So that was the call-in number that he was talking about. And my next thing is happy anniversary to my beloved husband, who walked away, of course, to go check in on Annette. We will be married as of 9 years tomorrow. So we got married on Christmas Eve. Yes. I love you, Jeff, even though you're not listening. So I said happy anniversary, dear. Anyhow, go back to your radio. And so Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone, and happy, happy New Year. And I can't wait to see you guys all next year. That's what I've got for the show. Thanks, everyone.